Thank you for tuning into the Harvest Christian Fellowship podcast. This week, Pastor Curtis continued our Walk in the Light series with a message about repentance. For more information about this message, you can download the Harvest app or visit our website at harvestchristianfellowship.org. Thank you and have a blessed week.
You know, a lot of us are looking for heaven to come to earth. We enjoy the Christmas season because it really reminds us of the light of Christ that he brings. You know, the earth is actually brighter during this time of year, according to NASA, as NASA looks at the earth because of all the lights that are put up for Christmas season in an anticipation of the Christ child being born upon this earth. It's a neat equation how God did this, how he brought heaven to earth, and how the light of Christ is what is supposed to shine throughout this world. And the way that Jesus does that, you know, it's not Jesus that's putting the lights on the houses. Some of us pray a lot to Jesus while we put the lights on the homes, but it's not Jesus that puts those out there, right? He's chosen to work through us to be a light to the lost, a light in the darkness. And so we've been in this series called Walking in the Light. And I'm going to start a little different this morning. I kind of read some of this to you, but I want us to go to Matthew chapter 3 very quickly, because I feel like this is a great way to lay a foundation for what we're going to be discussing today in how we participate in walking in the light, right? As vessels of the light. So here we go, chapter 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Now, here's what's important about that. One, he says, repent. In other words, I want you to think on some things. The kingdom of heaven is near. So John the Baptist comes bursting out of the wilderness. He runs out onto the scene, and all of a sudden he has this one message. His message is very simple. His message is one of repentance. I want you to think about God, and I want you to know that heaven is near. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, when he teaches his disciples to pray, he says what? He says, on earth as it is where? In heaven. In other words, these two that we tend to separate and say they are so far apart, now John the Baptist is saying, hey, listen up. The two are coming. They're close. Something's about to be birthed upon this earth. Heaven is near, and I want to remind you, I want you to repent. We're going to talk about repentance, that word repentance, here in just a moment. But I want you to see something very important is taking place. Are you listening? Are you watching? Because a child of the light is coming. Heaven is coming, and now is about to be in our midst to its fullness. Jesus' ministry is about to begin. So it's very important that we see that this morning. So here's John the Baptist. He comes with a message of repentance. Now, if you've been with us over the past few weeks, our main passage of Scripture comes from 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7. And this is what it says. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light. So if God is light, Jesus came to this earth. He came in the form of light, a light in the darkness, right? And in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. One of the key ingredients that God puts together as being a part of his family, as being his children, is this ingredient of unity. The importance of unity is found all throughout Scripture. How God's commanded blessing is found in unity. One of the hardest things for Christians to do is to stay in what? A place of unity, right? Oh, I can, all the parking lot meetings, you know, the finance, the administrative board, there's several. The trustees. How do we walk in unity? Well, when we do this by being children of the light, by following his principles, and by understanding that we should hold everyone in a valuable way. One of the reasons Jesus came was to simply say, I hold you in a valuable way. As a matter of fact, I hold everyone in a valuable way. You were bought with a price. The very last ounce of my blood has purchased you. And so that's one of the ways we have fellowship with one another. And we need other people. We need connection. Fellowship is deeper than friendship. It means that we are connected at the heart. I talked to you about being connected at the heart last week with David and Jonathan. And then it goes on to say, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That word cleansing is similar to sanctification. And if you remember, I gave you an illustration. I had a cup of dirty water and I took two pitchers and poured them into that cup of dirty water, and it rinsed that cup out clean to where it was purified. There's a purification. There's a sanctification. Sanctification's a church word, if you will. And I think sometimes, you know, it's amazing to me because we tend to say, well, that's a traditional church word. So we need to peel away from that so that we can make an appeal to the culture that we serve. I think we need to get back to it. I think it's time that we begin to understand words like sanctification, purification. See, it says it cleanses us. There is a rinsing that is taking place here. And so we talked about that in week one, and we talked about it's not necessarily just a salvation experience. It becomes sanctification. It's a process of moving us on to a place of holiness where our light can truly shine at its brightest ability, capacity, if you will. And as we come together in unity, everybody's light comes together. It becomes one bright light for the world to recognize and see Jesus. The second week we talked about who I am in Christ, that we need to understand that we are the children of God and the importance of understanding that. Week three we talked about transparency. That's a hard thing, to be transparent in front of people. That makes it tough being a pastor, to get up here and share all your stuff, your frustrations, your intimidations, your weaknesses. You remember the message, almost but not quite. I felt like as I was growing up that I was almost but not quite. I've had some of you mention that to me. As a matter of fact, some of you have even been in my office and say, Curtis, that's me. I feel almost but not quite. So we talked about the importance of, hey, stay transparent, confess who you are, confess your sins to God, confess your sins to other people, but the most important thing is also learn how to confess who you are in Christ Jesus. In week four, we talked about accountability. So it's important for us to be accountable one to another. And that's part of walking in the light. Week five, which is today, we're going to talk about repentance. So I've kind of opened the book already, if you will. I've revealed a couple things about repentance. I've talked about John the Baptist, Matthew chapter 3, burst out on the scene. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. It means that he is here. Ministry is about to happen. You're going to see what heaven looks like when it comes to earth in the form of Jesus. Repentance. It's like a military term. I kind of like that. It's like marching directions, right? Or marching in the other direction. See, it's a way of calling us back to who Jesus is and who God is, that God is a God of love. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm a vengeful person. I think if you do the crime, you ought to do the time. Don't mean that rude. I just mean, hey, you know, sometimes I tend to be black and white. I tend to not always show mercy. I think you go blow a bunch of people up, then, got a little suggestion for you. You know, and isn't it nice that what I've learned as I've walked with Jesus is that, look, bullets might stop a heart, but they don't change a heart. And when Jesus comes on the scene, this is what he's concerned about. I came for the entire world. And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we don't preach that. Sometimes we don't share and show the love of Christ. His mercy endures forever is what the Scripture says. Repentance is a form of His mercy because it's a form of us remembering, changing our mind from our ways, our thoughts, to His ways and His thoughts. See, a good confession, a lot of us think confession is repentance. We've confused this for years. Confession is not repentance. You can confess something and not be the least bit remorseful for it. You can confess something and not even change your mind about it. You can confess something, and it's healthy in most ways, but not all ways. Sometimes we confess our sins. We confess our insecurities to people we never should have shared it with. And then we're frustrated because they shared it with someone else. And then they shared it with someone else. And by the time it gets back to us, we're saying, that's not what we said. Who told you that? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Right? See, confession is not necessarily repentance. Confession is a great start to repentance if it's said in the confines of those who will hold you and hold what you say in an accountable, good, healthy way. Many believe they have repented simply because they have confessed. It's a start, but listen, it's not a finish. Many of us have found ourselves confessing the same sin to God over and over and over again. You ever find yourself on your knees again saying, God, I did it again? Who put Midnight Rodeo on the corner of Georgia and 45th? God has to remind us no temptation has overtaken us. You've been there. We're frustrated because we can't seem to overcome the sin in our life. We feel trapped like Paul in Romans chapter 7. He says these words, for what I am doing I do not understand, for what I'm not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm practicing the very thing that I hate. The 1 John, we just read it, tells us if we confess our sins, then God will forgive us. But confessing may not bring us victory. Did you hear me? Confessing may not bring us to that place or that point of victory. What is missing? What's missing is genuine repentance. Genuine repentance. Now, in reality, let me just tell you, you know, as a young man, I've shared this before. As a young man, I remember saying, Lord, I don't want to be perverted in my thinking. I don't want to be perverted in what I think about women or how I uphold women or lustfulness or those types of thoughts. And the Lord brought me to Psalm 119:9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. And I remember having to take a piece of tape and put that on the dash of my pickup so that as I'm going down the road, he's telling me, reflect upon my word. In other words, remember who I am and what I've done for you. The reason why you're pulled one way is the sin that's in your life, the sin that's been embedded there, the sin in your members, if you will. It's a challenge. But put your mind on what's pure, on what's right, on what's holy. And that takes practice. The word repentance, listen, church, may not be how you suppose. The word repentance comes from the Greek metanoiai, which simply means to change your mind. And in order to change your mind, what? It takes work. Let each one of you work out your salvation through fear and trembling. Well, what does that look like? Having to change our mind on where victory lies. Victory is not found in me outside of Christ. Victory is not found in my own strength outside of Christ. As a matter of fact, in my weakness is where He is strong. And so that means that I'm going to have to learn to put my mind, my thoughts, my ambitions, my calling on Christ Jesus. See, reality, confession makes you vulnerable. Sometimes people will use your confession against you, as I've stated. But repentance to change one's mind eventually will begin to change the behavior in you. We say it this way, you do what you believe. I could go through from addictions to basic sins to types of behavior, learned behavior. You know, you may not want to hear this, but mankind was created on the sixth day. And on the seventh day, God rested. Did you know that animals were created on the sixth day? Do you know one of the differences between you and an animal is something known as the gap theory? And in that gap, it means that rather than fight or flight, we can actually think through a situation. That's one of the distinguishing characteristics between you and an animal and the opposable thumb, but we don't need to talk about that today. If immediately your temper hits the roof and you're ready to fight, wait a minute, that's a little bit more animalistic. If immediately you want to run from every difficult situation and circumstance in your life, hang on, that's a little more animalistic. I've said this before, some of you have made me rethink evolution. I mean, I've seen some people not just go crazy, I've seen them ape crazy, you know what I mean? Where just the animal comes out. What does that have to do with repentance? Well, this is what it has to do with repentance. Repentance is found in that gap. Repentance means you have the opportunity to change your mind. To think about some things for a moment. To put your mind to the mind of Christ. And when you put your mind on the mind of Christ, church, amazing things begin to happen. You become transformed. And what's taking place on the inside begins to work out. You ever known someone who used to be this way? I was at a funeral yesterday and I just completely embarrassed myself. I'm just like I said, you got to be transparent, right? So I get up there and I'm getting ready to say a prayer. I'm talking about how this man's been a friend of mine for life. As a matter of fact, had it not been for his parents having him, I would have never made it through trigonometry in college. We were the best cheaters together I ever saw, you know. And it's at a funeral, and then I said, why did I say that? What am I doing? I'm not an animal. So just get up there and offer a prayer and, you know, move on. But instead, I gotta try to loosen up the crowd a little bit. I gotta say a few things, right? And it's not necessarily true. We really didn't cheat as you suppose. He actually knew how to do the problems. I just simply skipped a test to go skiing one weekend, came back, and the makeup test happened to be the same test that he and my sister had taken. And I studied their test. I'm sorry, Shelley. You're in this too. One last time to throw her under the bus, right? So, I need to change my mind and get back on track on Jesus. This is about Jesus. This isn't about trig in college. So anyway, repentance. Repentance means this, to forsake sin and learn to walk in obedience to Christ. But it starts with changing our mind on some things. There's going to be some constant correction. Let me say it this way. See, accountability and transparency, it doesn't always need to happen every single day. Transparency and accountability and having that accountability person that you go and possibly even to confess to doesn't always need to happen every day. But I want you to hear something. Repentance needs to happen every 5 minutes. If it deals with our mind is constantly working. It's constantly moving. The gears are always turning. And we need to have the mind of Christ because the mind of Christ is a mind that has repented. It means that it's a mind that has changed its ways over to Jesus' ways. And now that's what controls this vessel. It's what allows things to come in and influence our heart one way or the other. But let me say this. See, repentance, as it happens, it's constant correction. In other words, NASA, when NASA shoots a rocket at the moon, they just throw it up there. You think they're a bunch of incredible scientists. And I'm not knocking on anyone that's worked for NASA. You're very smart. Right? But I know the truth. The truth is that you throw it at the moon and you have to constantly correct its course. It's something that's headed that way. It's in the right direction, but it's got bumper lanes on it. It's like those gorilla lanes that when you're going down the highway and you just happen to, not that I've experienced this, but I really have through the week, but you know, eventually you're, oh golly, what am I doing? I'm on this side of the road. Right, thank you, Lord, for putting those there. It's a lot better than going in the ditch at this mile, at this speed, right? So it's that constant correction. That's what repentance is. Most people are unwilling to walk the path of repentance because of pride, because of fear of rejection. If someone looks like they have it all together, you know that they're lying, right? And so there are many of us that don't like to be corrected. We don't like to be put back. We know we're headed in the right direction, but sometimes we step out of bounds and we don't really want to put our mind on Christ during that time in our life, but it's at that those times that we really should. That's what changes the whole vessel. That's what helps with the course of correction, if you will. See, to renew your mind is to be in constant correction. The truth, John the Baptist, he preached in the wilderness of Judea saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, begin to think because it's here. He's here. But isn't it interesting that John the Baptist preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and Jesus yet kind of, and I shouldn't even say kind of, what he preached was this, come and follow me. So you have this message that says, repent. In other words, change your mind, change your thinking. This is not how it's going to happen. And then you have the one whom it happens through saying this, follow me. So repentance is this, seeing, knowing, behaving how you normally would, and changing that behavior because now you're following him and you're listening to his instruction instead of your own instruction. You're listening to his counsel instead of your own counsel. There's repentance. And that's what John the Baptist is saying. As a matter of fact, he goes on a little further. You can keep reading the story. Jesus walks up to the edge of the water. Jesus said, hey. Now, this is the CH version. All right. There's the NIV. There's a NASB, the New American Standard. But this is my version. So Jesus looks across the river, or John looks across the river, and he says, oh, golly, there's, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And you remember the story, you know, yeah, Jesus comes to him to be baptized. And he said, I can't baptize you. And he said, yeah, you're going to baptize. Well, I can't even untie your sandal. Anyway, there's all this stuff that's been said in this story. But what happens is you see repentance, one preaching, you change your mind, change your thoughts. The kingdom of God is at hand. And you have the one who says, okay, now they become my thoughts. They become my ways. Come and follow me. Romans 2:4, Paul says, or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to a place of repentance? That God is kind and leading you to a place of changing your mind, changing your behavior. That's his kindness. See, we oftentimes hear the word repent and we think we're in trouble. But it's not always about discipline. It's not about punishment. It's about changing your mind, which eventually will change your ways because your mind now is the mind of Christ. It's what we're all working and walking towards. So if God dealt with you harshly, I've said this plenty of times in my messages, you'd be smoked. Acts 3:17 says this, now brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold you through the prophets. So now he's saying, hey, I know you were looking for the Messiah to come in this way, but he's fulfilled it this way, saying that his Christ would suffer. Therefore repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Because what happens, we no longer have to be sin-focused. Now we're God-focused, we're Jesus-focused, and our sins are washed away. It's that process of sanctification that's happening. It's pouring more God out as he pushes out the things of this world in our life. The things of our nature are pushed out, are forced out, and we are washed, cleansed, and we're actually able to walk this life out in holiness, in goodness, in kindness, in the things that are of Jesus. Peter's speaking to the onlookers. He's reminding them that the things have always pointed to Jesus. It was a time to change their minds, enter into this new covenant, be refreshed and walk in that refreshing water that He's given us to walk in. It's our nature to drift. Even Peter, the one who preached this, he wound up drifting. In Luke, you'll find where after Jesus is taken away, you remember Peter denied Christ three times. But prior to that, the Scripture says this, but he was following from a distance. He had distanced himself. He had gone back to, this is careful, be careful with this. He had gone back to what he knew. He had gone back to what was safe. That's never where God calls us to. Hebrews reminds us that without faith, it's impossible to what? To please God. We have faith in Jesus. We have to change our mind. How do we do this? Well, I just got a couple of points here to get you through. A couple of things that will lead us to a place of repentance. And here they are. Learn to take captive every thought. And that's difficult in our world today. Commercials come up, and you got half-naked women running around advertising, especially this time of year, advertising lingerie. What's the name of the store? Victoria's Secrets. Thank you. Victoria doesn't have any more secrets, people. Shoot, just wipe that one off, right? You got to change your mind on that stuff. Way overpriced. Oh, Lord, help me get out of this. See, that's what happens when you don't follow your notes. There's all kinds of things in this world and in this life that's trying to get your attention, that's trying to make an appeal to you, that's trying to make an appeal to your mind, to get your thoughts, to capture your thoughts, to move you on to inappropriate behavior as Christian men and women and children of God. But pay attention to that. Learn how to take every thought captive. Paul reminds the church at Corinth, because the church at Corinth, you know, it's funny, we go to Corinthians for all kinds of advice on how to live life. And here's why, because that church was a mess. And Paul was constantly addressing the messes that they were in. You had Greek gods and all kinds of things that the Christians were being challenged with. Can I still worship this God and come over and worship this God? Now, I'm a Christian today. Should I go and visit the temple or the temple prostitutes? Because after all, I'm forgiven. They were actually challenged with many things that we are challenged with today in their culture. And so the Apostle Paul is constantly writing to them. He's constantly attempting to make a correction here. They're hitting that Chewbacca lane, if you will. The one that makes all the noise, you know, as you get off course a little bit. So he's constantly writing and trying to help them stay focused on their true north, which is Jesus. And he says, here's how you do it. We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So he reminds us, you've got to take your thoughts captive and make them obedient to the point of Christ. How do we do that? Well, it's a form of repentance. It's changing your mind. It's changing your direction. It's doing it the way God intended for it to be done in your life. Thoughts are not of Christ, or thoughts that are not of Christ, right, will lead us astray. Thoughts that lead you astray, they become sinful thoughts. And you know that sometimes those thoughts aren't even about what's right or wrong. Watch this. Sometimes they're even thoughts that you might say to yourself. Oh man, I'm just ignorant. God, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said that. Where did I leave my keys today? Lord, how did you make and create this mess? It's your fault anyway. Right? I mean, sometimes that's how we feel. And we've got to learn to take captive those thoughts, because even that is a form of repentance. We've got to remind ourselves that I'm the child of the living King. I am a child of the living King. My Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I am born again into an inheritance that has no end, including time. That's amazing. Loved ones that have passed from this life into the next, we have the assurances of those things not seen today, but one day will be revealed. We have to remind ourselves. We have to take our thoughts captive and remind us what Jesus has said about life. Life everlasting. Remind ourselves that I'm not a failure, that I've not messed up too much, that I've never drifted too far, that God always extends His grace and mercy to those who remember, to those who would repent. Learn to take your thoughts captive. If you don't know how to do that, I tell you, I'm not a counselor. There's plenty of you who could verify that. But what I am is someone who will give you a scripture and say, go memorize this. Why? Because it puts your mind on Christ. It is a form of repentance. The second thing I would say is learn to put on the mind of Christ. Now this is tough because in the gap that separates you from an animal, in the gap, we have to learn to put on the mind of Christ. In other words, what would Jesus not just say or what would Jesus do, but how would Jesus speak to me in this situation? What would He do? What would He say? What does His Word say about this situation or circumstance in my life? And you may say this, Jesus doesn't care, really? Jesus doesn't care about my petty stuff. He's got a world to run. He's got a universe to run. Why is Jesus even... Before you were formed or knit in your mother's womb, you've got to remember this. He knew you. He called you by name. And tell me He doesn't have a plan and a purpose for your life. See, that's a form of repentance to go back even that far and remember, oh my goodness, He's got something for me in this life. And what that means is I have something for Him as well. What is that? Put on the mind of Christ, 2 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct Him? But we have the mind of Christ. In other words, we've had the opportunity to see how the Lord Himself walked upon this earth, how He acted, how He reacted, what He did for the kingdom of heaven, and how He brought the kingdom of heaven to this earth. We should have the mind of Christ. Do you ever ask for the mind of Christ? See, in that gap, you have an opportunity to say, Lord, show me, what is Your mind? What is Your will in this circumstance? Isn't that neat that that's repentance? See, we probably grew up with a mentality that repentance is just falling on our face, weeping, gnashing our teeth, whatever that is, and ripping our clothes off, throwing ashes on ourselves in the middle of the street. But really, repentance is that putting on the mind of Christ, remembering Him, remembering how He acted, what He did, what He's done, what He's currently doing in our life, those times of refreshing, taking things out, putting things in. In all situations, it should be our goal to have the mind of Christ. It's a form of repentance, returning our thoughts, our meditations, our situations, giving them back to Him. Listen, church, repentance isn't a bad word. It's not. We hear the word repentance. Repentance was given to us as through His mercy, by His grace, so that we would have the opportunity to walk freely in this life. Isaiah 30:15-18. For thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest you will be saved. In quietness and trust, that is your strength. But you are not willing. In other words, He's given us repentance as a gift where we can find rest, where we will be saved. You see, that when we put on Christ, what are we doing? We're putting on salvation. We're remembering what He's done for us and the great salvific work that He's done for us. And some will neglect that. Some will never find quietness in their life. Some will never find trust or find the strength to overcome temptations and sin in their life simply because they will never put their mind, they will never repent and believe in Christ, much less put their mind on Him. I want to encourage you today to walk in the light as He is in the light. To move as He's called you to move, to think as He's called you to think, to take every thought captive. See, I love Christmas because even NASA says the world is brighter. Why? Because the world's mind is on heaven coming to earth and the Christ child. Watch, it's a form of repentance. People who refuse to repent oftentimes find themselves isolated. They find themselves alone. They find themselves wondering, what is this life all about anyway? They find themselves looking for the meaning of life, but they're looking to the answer within themselves, and the answer was never meant to be found in yourself. The answer was meant to be found in Christ, our Lord and Savior. See, when we get alone, when we become isolated, we become vulnerable to our own thoughts, our own thinking, our own ways of dealing with situations and circumstances. And we oftentimes we revert back to our animalistic behaviors. There's only one way, and that's His way. That's why Jesus says, where two or three are gathered, there I am in their midst. In other words, we come together to repent together, to remember. See, God offers us rest this morning. Are you rested? God offers us salvation. Are you saved? God offers us quietness and trust and strength. Is that you this morning? All of these happen through repentance. We're here together. You have an opportunity to be reminded who you are, to set your mind on Christ. That's why we're up here for you this morning. I encourage you to come and receive prayer. Father God, I thank You, Lord, that we're not alone, that You've called us together to have the mind of You, Lord. Father, I know Your ways are not our ways and Your thoughts are not our thoughts. Your ways are higher than our ways, Lord. But I know You're constantly revealing those to us because You're the God of revelation. So, Father, for those who need just some great seed sown in their soul today, just some agreement to put their mind on Christ, to be delivered from the temptations and the ways of this world. Father, may they know there's hope offered in prayer this morning. Father, lead us to be Your bride, to walk in Your light as You are in the light, all the days of our life, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening. If this message or any part of the ministry at Harvest has impacted your life, we'd love to hear about it. Just send an email to mystory@harvestchristianfellowship.org. That's mystory@harvestchristianfellowship.org. Thanks and God bless.